listening to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. If you have a question or comment about today's show, Jay would love to hear from you at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. You can also send an email to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com. That's questions, the number 4, Taylor@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm really pleased to have Robert Carrington with me again. He's the president and CEO of New Range Gold Corp. It's trading in Toronto under the symbol NRG. You can buy it in the U.S., as I have, under the symbol CMBPF. 65.5 million shares outstanding, although I think there's potentially some acceleration of shares, some 9.6 million shares that would bring in some additional cash to the company. But as it is, at 65.5 million shares, selling earlier today at least at 33 cents Canadian, giving it a minuscule market cap of $22 million in Canadian money, if my calculator is working correctly. Robert, thanks for joining me again today.
Jay, thanks for having us.
Always good to talk to you, especially about companies that I own shares in. I care a little bit more about those, it seems, for some reason. But you were last on the show on the 21st of November, about a month ago, a little less than that. About a week after that, you put out a press release talking about some new targets at your flagship Pamlico project. What can you tell us about those targets? How did you derive them? And what might it mean for your exploration program going forward?
Well, the targets that you refer to are based on a multi-phase, multi-layer geophysical program that we conducted. That program consists of combined airborne magnetometry and radiometric surveys and a ground-based gravity survey. Different types of deposits respond differently to different geophysical techniques, and the air mag and radiometrics strongly indicate, as we mentioned in the press release, that the Pamlico Ridge area is much larger with a much greater strike length than what we had originally anticipated from a simple outcrop mapping. The geophysics indicates that we're probably looking at something with around a 6 kilometer strike and probably around a kilometer wide. Now, all of that probably won't be mineralized, but there are certainly going to be multiple target zones along that. The air mag and radiometrics also clearly identify the east-west zone as an area of intense alteration. And where that crosses the Pamlico Ridge Zone is obviously a very promising target area. Both of those major structures have seen historic production in the 1880s. And so going forward, we're going to be, we're extending our mapping and sampling to cover that area. Importantly, certain types of, especially sediment-related deposits, both skarn systems and sediment-hosted gold systems that are, you may refer to them broadly as Carlin-type systems, respond very well to certain types of geophysical surveys. A skarn system commonly will have a high magnetometry, high radiometric signature, and a high gravity because it's so very dense. And in fact, we identified two highly anomalous areas that the geophysical consultant is convinced represent skarn development in the Paleozoic sediments, and or in the Mesozoic sediments. I'm sorry, they're on the the property. There's a very thick, a couple of thousand foot thick sequence of limestones that are a potential host for skarn type development. And then some of those same sediments further away exhibit areas of low magnetometry, high radiometric signatures with very low gravity, and the low gravity in the lime in the carbonate sediments suggests there's an alteration called decalcification that is one of the alteration styles that is commonly associated with the development of sediment-hosted gold systems, because all gravity does is measure the density of the rock in the near surface within the top 100 to 200 feet generally. And so where we see these gravity lows, by inference, we think we're seeing lower density rock that could be associated with the removal of calcite from the crystal lattice of the limestone. And that commonly happens when you get a mineralizing event in the limestone, such as a Carlin-type system.
Mm-hmm.
So at this point, the gravity is extending the volcanic-hosted targets that we have, confirming the presence of some very large targets. And then the multi-layered geophysical surveys are also strongly indicating the presence of other deposit types, such as the sediment-hosted gold and the possibly even skarn-type gold systems. And in fact, one of the strongest anomalies that may be indicating skarn development is associated with an area of intense bleaching and iron staining of some of the carbonate sediments on the property. So it's very promising, very exciting. We have a lot of work to do on the property to develop drill targets in some of these areas. Again, the geophysics is a kind of a lead-in to the rest of your field work that ultimately results in drill targeting.
Yeah. Well, indeed. I know that you made a point in your November 6th press release that none of the drilling that you've done so far has taken place on the ridge, on the Pamlico Ridge portion, I think you said. Robert, do you see this Pamlico Ridge? Is this perhaps structurally a very main part of this system, possibly?
I believe it is. I believe Pamlico Ridge and some of the cross-cutting structures that intersect the Pamlico Ridge structural system are major targets across the property, and I think we will see multiple centers of mineralization developed along that zone.
Mm-hmm. You know, you've had some remarkably high assays that have been reported, the kind of things that in a strong gold bull market anyway would get people very, very excited about your stock. And indeed, your shares did go up to around 70 some cents, about half that now, which I think, you know, given what you're telling us now, makes it a much better price than it was at 70 cents, you know, back in July of last year, last summer. But, yeah, you know, some really high grades. I mean, like 4.6 meters of 43 grams per ton, 6.1 meters of 97, almost 98 grams per ton. I mean, but you're still very early days here, aren't you? You don't have a resource yet. Now you have a bigger target. You have more to shoot at. Do you have any idea have you put together, are you in the process now of putting together a drill program for 2018?
Yes, we are. I'm actually, we're interviewing from the property. I'm on the backside of Pamlico Ridge right now, and we have crews mapping and sampling underground, and the specific goal is to expand our drill targeting into some of these other target areas. We're going to be drilling one of the areas that we've already identified. We don't have specific drill sites permitted or identified yet, but we have decided we're going to be drilling this. Is about 1,000 meters away from the area that we have been drilling in. So it's a very interesting extension. We've identified a intersection zone with three major mineralized structures coming together in very favorable host rocks, in the same latite host rocks that host some of those high-grade numbers you just mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
So it's... I believe it's going to be a real exciting period. There are a number of historic mine workings from the 1800s that partially explore and develop some of this. Of course, the old-timers in the 1800s were primarily looking for coarse-free gold that they could identify with the gold pan. And a lot of what we're looking for is stuff they may very well have missed. So we have... tremendous potential here, and the interesting thing is they just simply drifted in and raised up on the high grade zones.
Mm-hmm.
There are no workings that go down where we would even be drilling. So it's a real exciting target area. We're also going to be drilling about a kilometer and a half to the south, and that's an area where the historic database has some amazing high-grade samples in there. A lot of plus 1 ounce gold at the surface. So we'll see. Hopefully that will extend to depth. We're going to be doing a lot of mapping and additional sampling in that area to target those structures and project. Hopefully, be able to project those down through the rhyolite cap and into the more favorable latite sequence at depth.
All right. Well, it's going to be very exciting. Maybe you can just tell our listeners, you're in Nevada, the infrastructure is really good, your energy costs are, I suppose, very favorable. Some of those are considerations longer term, of course. First, you've got to outline the gold and the resource there and then start doing the economics, and you got a lot of work to do. Metallurgy, have you done any metallurgy yet?
We haven't done any metallurgy. That's actually one of the things that will be getting started later this year, before January 1st, we'll be delivering composite samples from our drilling to McClellan Laboratories for cyanide solubility work. It'll be a combination of bottle rolls and probably a column leach test to determine the amenability to cyanide leaching. And some of the higher grade zones will probably have the laboratory go ahead and do more detailed cyanide leach tests on to see what it would behave like in a mill. But so far, the gold seems to be very fine-grained, and I suspect we're going to get excellent recovery in a heap leach environment. So that's why we'd be going with the columns.
Yeah, you mentioned that the oxidation is quite deep there, I believe you said, right, the last time we spoke?
Extremely deep, yes. It's the deepest oxidation I've ever seen anywhere on any project I've worked on. We've drilled two stratigraphic test holes that both indicate the oxidation level extends to more than 200 meters. That'd be about 630 feet. So
that's
very, very deep level.
And those are the kinds of things that people might not be aware of that could be very, very beneficial. And your infrastructure issues are really very positive there too for you, I guess, right?
Oh, they are. You're correct on all points there. The infrastructure is phenomenal. We're literally 15 minutes outside of the town of Hawthorne, Nevada. Actually, from where I'm parked speaking to you, I'm looking down the canyon and directly out into Hawthorne, Nevada. It's amazing. From the hotel we stay in, if you know where to look, you can actually see the target we're going to be drilling in 2018.
Interesting. Well, that's true. With a minute left yet, Robert, you do have some assets in Colombia. Anything going on with those, and might they be monetized to help you finance exploration of this project?
We're certainly exploring opportunities to monetize those. The only work we're really doing is I have an independent consultant working on the drill data from Uramalito to see if, in his opinion, Uramalito is at a point where we could initiate a 43-101 resource assessment. And if he indicates that he thinks we can do that, then we'll go ahead and initiate a maiden resource assessment for Uramalito.
All right. And do you have all your drill results back yet?
No, we don't. And we're doing some checking on some of the other results. I imagine we'll see the remainder of the results come out in early January of 2018.
Okay, and when might you talk about your program, your exploration program? How soon do you think you might have that for us?
That's going to depend largely upon the project manager. He's a very accomplished geologist. Many people may know of him. His name is Nate Tewalt. He discovered the Hollister mine that Klondex now operates, and he's been involved in a number of other discoveries, and has been a senior executive, or the chief executive, actually, of some very successful companies, one being Great Basin Gold, and another one being a uranium company that he took from about 70 cents to about almost $8, I believe. But anyway, Nate's really in charge of the detailed exploration on the project. We're going to be meeting this afternoon, and as soon as we get some good structural mapping completed, we'll be selecting the other drill targets. I would anticipate some guidance either in very late December or early January.
Okay, good. We'll look forward to that for sure. We're going to have to leave it go at that, Robert, because we are out of time. It is a most exciting story, I must say, and one that I'm watching very carefully. Thank you so much for being with us today, and we'll look to do it again sometime, hopefully in the not-too-distant future.
Yes, outstanding. Thank you, Jay.
All right. Thank you, Robert. Well, folks, we do have to go to break now, but don't go away. First time on this show, Charles Hugh Smith will be with us. Some very interesting ideas about the cost of living. What's impacting and why is the middle class disappearing from America? What can you do about it to protect yourself? Well, these are the kinds of things we want to look to Charles Hugh Smith for. Really, really excited about having him here. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Charles Hugh Smith.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America.
Noble Resources Corp. trades on the OTCQX under the symbol NSRPF and on the TSX Venture Exchange under NVO. Its flagship assets are located in the Karratha region of Western Australia, where they are currently drilling and trenching their Perdes Reward Project. In addition, Novo has partnered with Sumitomo Mining Corporation to advance its Beaton's Creek Gold Project toward production. With over $70 million in cash and strong shareholder support from the likes of Kirkland Lake Gold, Novo is well on its way to establishing itself as one of the top junior explorers and developers in Australia.
A gold rush has begun. Recently, three of the largest gold mining companies announced strategic acquisitions in the Yukon Territories. Ahead of them was a group who had already consolidated the key claims covering the historic Klondike Gold Rush into one company, aptly named Klondike Gold Corp. Led by a team of accomplished geoscientists, the company is steadily advancing exploration to reveal the rich source of all that gold. The hunt for the next major discovery is well underway, and Klondike Gold's shareholders are strategically positioned. Stay ahead of the majors and follow KlondikeGoldCorp.com.
Bonterra Resources, a Canadian exploration company, is aggressively expanding its high-grade Gladiator gold deposit in Quebec, Canada. In 2017, Bonterra raised $40 million and attracted strategic investors Eric Sprott, Kinross, Kirkland Lake Gold, and New York-based VanEck Gold Fund. Bonterra is focused on updating its 43-101 resource model in 2018 and will incorporate up to an additional 100,000-plus meters of drilling, where the dimensions of the Gladiator gold deposit has been expanded to date nearly 500%. Bonterra trades in Canada under the symbol BTR and in the U.S. under BONXF.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.